following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
With over a million products, Grainger's your one-stop shop to help keep your facility running. And no one has more of the best brands. Like Fluke, Grainger has an enormous selection of Fluke testing tools, including the VTO2 visual thermometer, a breakthrough in temperature measurement, the brands you want, the products you need, the good-looking radio guy you love to hear. Okay, I added that part. Buy your supplies smarter. Call, visit a branch, or click Grainger.com/Fluke today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You guys need anything else right now?
I don't know. NCAA March Madness at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, and every game imaginable. I mean, what else could we want? Except...
Way to stay longer.
Yeah, right?
Oh, have you seen our remote? I can put the tournament in slow motion mode for you guys.
How's your wings?
Even better in slow motion.
Head to the official hangout of March Madness. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insights from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com,
as well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Tuesday, where we keep busy getting closer to the NCAA basketball tournament. Don't forget to check out our website to find out how you could be $50,000 richer with our Doug and Daddy Bracket Buster Challenge. If you were part of it last year, you know how it works. In fact, if you've been a part of it at all over the last few years, it's pretty simple. Online and click it on up, and there you go. We changed it up with a different site last year to throw in that possibility that if you get red hot, you can win extra cash on top of the prizes that we will be giving away. So check that out at ESPNSuperstation.com. While you're there, you can vote on our poll question. You can sign up for Facebook. You can check out the podcast. You can check out the photos from PlatteRiverPreps.com from the state wrestling and basketball tournaments. So that's all there for you as well. Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald, prep sports editor, to preview the boys' state tournament. Zach Foster, Adams Central head boys' basketball coach. Patriots, unbelievably, have never won a state tournament game. And we're going to ask about what they need to do to beat Wayne for the second time this year. And Damon Day. Where's Damon? He's our Tuesday co-host. Well, we don't know where he's at. I don't know if he knows where he's at. Yeah, they're going to miss less class time, aren't they, guys? Yeah, the UNK baseball team is going to be on the road for like the whole month. Good luck with their athletic achievements. So they're working hard, trying to keep up with what's going on, and can't play here. Good Lord, can't imagine having to do much outside today. So hopefully you're inside, hopefully you're staying warm. And Jimmy Langan's in as our co-host, because we will be at the state basketball tournament Thursday and Friday with the Doug and Daddy Show. And, you know, I didn't get to see you last Friday, and I felt cheated on the whole deal. Even though I talked to you, I just, you know, didn't get to see you.
Yeah, it wasn't the same, was it? You know, we've got this Friday gig going, and it's just not the same.
We'll throw it off the whole beaten path here, because once we kind of get into the show here, we don't go in. What's going on at Fawner, man? They have just been slammed the first two Saturdays of the year. I haven't been able to be there, but sources, actually people that are there, just slammed. Actually a great start to the Fawner Park racing season. We're going to catch up with Steve Anderson again here in the near future, because everyone here in his golden tones called the races.
You know, the Fawner Park, you know, got the track changed a little bit, you know, in that surface. And, you know, the very first day, it seemed to me that some of the closers could close. You know, it used to be at Fonter, you know, you, at four furlongs, whoever got that lead, you might as well go to the window right now because you've got the winning ticket. But, hey, there were some six furlong horses that came back and you know, upset some four furlong horses.
That only that happened most of the time. Sometimes the jockeys, you know, they'd get a little tight on that horse, and they thought maybe they needed to stretch, so they kind of stand up and they'd stretch on the back of that horse.
Do you think they do that? Do you think they play games?
No, not anymore.
I think they're trying to win those races.
Yes. There's never been a controversy in horse racing ever, or boxing.
No, I don't think so. I think in, you know, with animals, I mean, you get on a horse, how can you control that thing? Have you ever rode one?
Oh,
could you imagine you
not
and I riding them?
But I've
I mean, if we could just get to the finish line on top of the horse, we'd be tickled to death.
I've ridden horses. I just haven't, not in a race. I don't think they'd let us. We're kind of too big. We're not jockey size.
You know, about every 20 races, I hit one. You know, and I kind of figured it out about every 20 times. And then they finally run one correct. You know what I mean? You know, they finally ran it right, according to my form.
Well, we're ready to hear from you as well, folks. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. The new Hall of Fame ballot is out. I always get confused by this College Hall of Fame. They announce who's on the ballot, then they vote on the ballot, then they have like 17 banquets. I swear, like 2 years from now, these guys will actually have their banquet again. But again, Trev Alberts, Eric Crouch, and Tommy Frazier are among the 77 players on the Hall of Fame ballot. Many people were shocked that Tommy Frazier did not get selected last year. And, of course, you got Eric Crouch as a Heisman Trophy winner. Every Heisman Trophy winner basically gets into the College Football Hall of Fame. But that will take place here. I think they probably announced that sometime in May, I think, is actually when that comes down. But I'll tell you more about that. But of those three, Trev Alberts, Tommy Frazier, Eric Crouch, Jimmy, who belongs in the Hall of Fame first out of those three?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot. But
well, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, I would just say Tommy Frazier. But, you know, that's because, you know, with his run against Florida, you know, I'm taking in a one big play there that he had. You know, remember, he was hurt that one season. You know what I mean? He didn't play. You know, so, you know, I think that, you know, it's tough when it comes to the quarterback because, you know, you're talking about two quarterbacks and you got Trev Alberts, you know, on who's, you know, and they all do different things. You know, Crouch was tremendous, but, you know, you look at their pro careers and we're not supposed to be able to look at that, are we?
No.
Yeah.
No, so, none of them had one.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
None of them had one.
That's right. That's kind of what happened. Yeah.
So you say Frazier first.
Yeah, Tommy Frazier. You know, yeah. I mean, he didn't win the Heisman, but I think, you know, right after they won the game, didn't everybody come out and somebody said on the radio show, in three words or less, talk about what you thought of the football game last night when they beat Florida. And one person said, wrong Heisman winner, you know, because Tommy was second.
Yeah, to Eddie George, which, you know, hey, Eddie George wasn't a bad selection, was he? He had a great year at Ohio State.
Do you think Lawrence?
He'd have won the Heisman this year.
Do you think Lawrence Phillips had anything to do with the outcome of the Florida game? You know, he had a pretty good deal. Is he on that list? Is Lawrence Phillips on there?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he's on there, is he?
No.
Yeah.
No. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. 77 players are on the Hall of Fame ballot. I mean, there are so many players out here. Let's see. People you may recognize that I recognize. Eric Bieniemy, Colorado. Yes or no?
Yes.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Brian Bosworth, Oklahoma.
Definitely in.
Teddy Bruschi, Arizona.
No, let's go with the no guy.
How are you doing?
No, his pro thing, yeah. But he was an All-American. Consensus 94, unanimous 95, so a two-team All-American. He's got some work behind him there. Also, let's see, Randall Cunningham, Nevada, Las Vegas, as a punter, he was an All-American.
Put him in.
Ron Dayne, Eric Dickerson. You know, Eric's not getting in because people think, here's the deal. I don't care how he got to the college he got to, just like Reggie Bush. It's not like because they cheated, supposedly, to get into college that they were a better football player. I mean, Eric Dickerson would have been that good or maybe better at better programs. SMU was nothing till they got there.
you know, I know a little bit more about the Baseball Hall of Fame and how to get in. So, I mean, in this College Hall of Fame, I guess I really don't know exactly what the criteria is. Because, you know, when I look back in Nebraska football, one of the most dominating players was Rich Glover in, you know, 1971. I mean, he just dominated. He had pretty much no pro career. I mean, he played for the Shreveport Steamer, you know. So.
How about this one? Kirk Gibson. Wide receiver, Michigan State.
He can go to
with those knees.
Yeah, he can go to a different Hall of Fame.
Lord, Rajib Ismail going in. So there you go. Let's see, who else did we have here that might just kind of catch your eye? Of course, some of these guys you probably know better because you watch college football maybe 10 years longer than I did. Ken Norton Jr. From UCLA, Orlando Pace, Ohio State. Antoine Randall L. from Indiana, Willie Rofe, Louisiana Tech, Sterling Sharp, South Carolina. Just a few of the names that are up for the College Football Hall of Fame. Vinny Testaverde, Zach Thomas from Texas Tech, he's on the list as well. And Danny Werfel, Florida quarterback.
Yeah, Sterling Sharp was a heck of a player. Do you remember him playing at all?
Yeah,
good.
No doubt about it. Hall of Famer himself, Stu Pospisil. We're trying to find out which one he's in, but he is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Doug Duda, Jim Langan on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Stir.
That would be the Omaha Benson Hall of Fame, seriously.
Oh, man, so do you get like bunny ears, or how's that work?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, now I'm head of the alumni board there, so I help select now. So we try and keep the standards higher than when I went in.
What they put you in as? I mean, there's athleticism, there's contributor, there's coaches.
No, this is the academic side.
Oh, those don't count. Those don't count. What? Do they have an academic? Oh, no. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Hey, Stu, Jim Langan here. Hey, let's make this
a Jim, how are you doing?
Really good. Let's just make this a professional show here for once. Let's really get down to it, the three of us, and try to make this professional.
That'd be the first time in Doug's whole career on the ESPN Superstation.
Oh, boy. Here we go. The gloves are off. We talked with Ron Powell yesterday, kind of recapping the girls' tournament, but you're there as well, hunkered down, covering the games. Just before we get into the boys, anything that stuck out unusual or different or that really caught your eye after this girls' state tournament was over?
Well, I think that we have some very good talent coming through the state right now, some that got to state, some that did not, and we had some really good even games, even in the first round. And that doesn't always happen, but I thought the Class A first round was as good as it's ever been. And Jess Shepard showed that she probably could be playing for Nebraska right now, probably could have helped him against Penn State.
Bill Gavers leaves Grand Island Central Catholic to take over at Hastings College. Also, your thoughts on that?
Thank goodness for the shot clock in college.
He mentioned that yesterday, too.
Bill Gavers is one of the best coaches to come through the state. He's, in recent years, gotten a little deliberate with his offenses. You know, the days of Jeff Riley scoring 56 or C.J. Kogel throwing out in 11 threes are long gone at GICC. They got a couple good players coming through the pipeline there for the next guy. But I think it's going to be a good change for Bill. I think we saw it with Jim Weeks that Jim probably needed a new challenge, and I think maybe Bill does too, and to go back to his alma mater and, you know, be on campus with Mike Trader, his longtime mentor. I think it's for Jim Weeks, it was a win-win-win.
All right, let's go ahead, Sue.
Oh, I was going to say, hey, you know, with Bill, you know, when he had, there was times when he had by far the best team out on the floor. When he did that, he ran and got as many possessions as he could. But lately, he's kind of had to slow it down. But they did have a huge win over York this year.
Yeah.
You know, they beat York High School.
At the state tournament, too. York is 19-5.
Yeah, in Class B. So, it was a big win.
Yeah.
Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, slash father, who loves to take care of the twins there. Stu, we can break it down class by class, but what's going to be the most interesting? Just let's start overall in case it's not in Class A. Is there a storyline that you're following?
Well, I think just Class B. I mean, if anybody could, I'm doing my picks for tomorrow. I haven't done them yet. I mean, if anybody could tell me who the two teams are going to be in the finals, let alone the champion, you know, I think they ought to go, you know, over to the simulcast or go out to Vegas, because I mean, there are eight teams that can win. I'll throw Aurora in that mix too, because they could take out Scott's Bluff right away and really mix things up. So, you know, Scott's Bluff is the defending champion. They have a couple good scorers with Eric Marino and Haddon, but they've been hot and cold. And when they've been cold, they've been really awful. They only scored 33 against Gehring one game mid-season, and you know, so I think Aurora's got to be thinking, you know, we play hard, we play well, and Rick Bell's had success, you know, wherever he's been as coach, and I think that's a more even matchup than on paper would suggest.
Yeah, you know, that Class B, and I think maybe it's because there's not that great team in there. I mean, the best record in there, you know, has five losses. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you. The reason Class B, there's not that one dynamite team that you're really looking at this year.
No. I think they're above average. I don't know if, you know, maybe with the exception of Millard South, you'd say that this is one of the better teams in state history, and Elkhorn South's only had 3 years of history, but, you know, this isn't the best South Sioux team, this isn't the best Ralston team, you know, York is one, you know, I'm going to be eager to see Ty Danielson, because he's put up some big numbers in districts, and that doesn't always happen, as you know, Jim, you know, districts and state, usually the point production goes down as play gets a little more careful or a little more deliberate. You know, I think it's the teams there are above average, but I don't think it's a great outstanding year where you'd say the top of B is closer to A or could play with many of the A teams. I see it being closer to C1.
Okay, I'm because you don't know, Waverly-Ralston. Okay, there's my early prediction in B. Now let's go to Class A. Can anybody break the Central versus South final, and if so, who would it be?
Well, I think that if Benson would get past Millard West, just the fact Benson and Central haven't played this year, and Benson is a team that's very, well, younger than Central, mostly underclassmen. I'm looking, if they show well at state, they may be the number one team in the preseason next year for what they return. Kyrie Thomas is getting on the radar as a 6'4 point guard. You know, that's a pretty prized commodity for colleges. And he's had as many as 35 in a game, and sometimes he's almost too unselfish, and his teammates weren't finishing earlier in the year, and they are now. So a Central-Benson matchup could be a little interesting. I think maybe the team that could upset the apple cart is Lincoln Southeast, because somehow they've caught fire late in the year, gotten healthy, got some good athletes. You know, they've got an I.G. Jackson that's a Nebraska walk-on, and Luke Gifford just got a Nebraska offer last night as a defensive back, and they knocked off Southwest, I think it was 37-17 at halftime in the district final. They played Pappy on the first round. Let's say they get past Pappy, South and Southeast could be a very interesting matchup and a lot of athletes floor.
I agree with that. You know, I refereed the North Platte Lincoln Southeast game way back in December, you know, and that was like, I mean, I don't even remember the score of the game, but I do remember
57-35.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I do remember the last 8 minutes. We didn't have to work that hard, you know, on every call, but I know that the they've really improved, and you know, North Platte was playing really well at that time and has had their up and downs too.
Yes, you know, and you know, as I wrote in Monday, you know, don't fault them or Papio South for getting to state. That the way the rules are set up, you're going to sometimes have a perfect storm where you don't get the best eight teams to state. But then again, you can't keep Cinderella, you know, from walking into the ballroom either. So,
well, exactly.
You know, I otherwise, why even have districts? Just, you know, anoint the eight teams in the point standings. Let's go to Lincoln and that wouldn't be right for the other teams, and it also gives kind of a little air of unpredictability, and, you know, North Platte's had its moments, you know, but they've had trouble playing against, you know, especially Metro Conference teams.
Oh,
losing at Northwest and losing to Papio South at home isn't a very good indication of, or a very good standing for the Bulldogs.
North Platte's going to have another moment at about 3:30 on Thursday afternoon, and it's not going to be probably a good one. Let's take a look at some of the other ones before we run out of time here. Class C1, top three teams in the Lou Platte Conference were fortunate enough to all make it, and none of them will probably be favored. Wahoo is number one. Wahoo was solid last year. You've seen Wahoo. Tell us a little bit about the Warriors.
Well, the Warriors are more defensive-minded. They don't shoot the threes, you know, the way you'd think of from the Mick Anderson era. Kevin Sheaps got them going up tempo. It's pretty balanced. A lot of attacking the rim. They've got a nice round of good athletes there. Jonathan Abbott and Quinn McGill is Rich McGill's, either grandnephew or grandson from Midland College. Ben Chiefs, the coach's son. I think they've got the toughest draw in the first round with Lincoln Christian.
Man, we could just go a whole hour on this, because here's what I'm going to say about that. We are, just like last week, Lincoln Christian girls playing Shadron. You take that Lincoln team, whether it's Christian or Lutheran, that always seems to get into that C1 field as the 7 or 8 seed, and they have pulled the upset enough times that you have to bring that up every time. The Centennial Conference was not near as tough this year, so I believe Lincoln Christian's 9 losses are way worse than a 9 or an 8 or a 7 loss team, because St. Cecilia's, I mean, they're not losing to St. Cecilia and Grand Island Central Catholic. Neither one of them had 20 win seasons like we've seen in the past. So I'll take Wahoo. I'll give you double digits, Stu.
Well, that very well could be, but as we know, it is tough to beat one of those Lincoln teams in the lower classes. And Logan Powers, a very good athlete for Lincoln Christian. I've seen him a couple times, and you just never know. But I don't think that for a number one seed, that number eight seed is probably, tougher than normal. And, I guess the great question mark is Kimball.
Yeah, nobody knows anything about him except they're tall.
They're tall. They had the Dom kid was hurt early in the year. I think it's Mitchell Dom. I can't remember. I've done so many names. But he missed some time. They came back. The problem with Kimball is they only played about 4 C1s during the season, and they haven't played a C1 with a winning record. So it's really been hard to judge. I've kept them out of the rankings all year just because they could be playing some C1s out there, or Bs, and they're not.
Yeah, you're right about Kimball. That's kind of what the talk is here. And I will talk about Lincoln Christian. I think those guys would have been very tough in the Lou Platte Conference. They have some really good athletes, and they're about 7 or 8 deep, and hardly anybody 7 or 8 deep. Maybe Adam Central.
Now you guys are going to make my blood boil. That's what you're trying to do, because you're trying to sell this Eastern Nebraska Lincoln crap and tell me that none of these other teams are any good. I'm not saying Lincoln Christian. I'm sorry, Jim. I'm not yelling at you, and I'm not yelling at Stu, but you guys know how I feel about this. Just because Lincoln Christian's in the field, all of a sudden they're supposed to be a great team. We're not talking about Papio South. We're not talking about Crofton. We're not talking about any of the other 8 seeds, but because it's Lincoln Christian, they've got a chance to win. Okay, there's my rant. We're almost out of time, so we got to move on and look at some of the smaller classes. Sutton,
sure.
Sutton is overwhelming in C2. Lutheran High Northeast was in the finals last year. Stu, I'll let you pick here because we don't have a whole lot of time. C2, D1, D2 storylines in the smaller classes.
Well, I think Sutton and Freeman. We saw that game in districts came down to the wire there, and that's coach and protege with Steve Sponberg and Jim McLaughlin. That could be a low-scoring but entertaining final. D1, Paxton and Howells Dodge are two of the last 4 undefeated teams in the state, their last 3 undefeated teams now. That could be quite a Donnybrook kind of difference of styles, because Paxton's the leading team in the state for scoring at 76 a game, and Howells Dodge probably won't want to go at its pace. And down in D2... I think that's another wide-open one, but with Giltner being the 2-time defending champion, you can't really rule against the Hornets.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry I went on my rant. Sorry.
I'm afraid to make another selection. In D2, I think the bottom 4 teams in that bracket will come out. One of those 4 will win that bottom 4. That looks like a really tough bracket on that bottom 4 teams. And, you know, again, I'm looking at East and West, I guess. But, you know, if your guy does that, he's probably been pretty successful picking the state tournament field.
Well, you know, I mean, the West, unfortunately, does not have a great track record over the years. A few years ago, I think I counted up, there were like 11 champions in the district tournament era from the Panhandle.
Man.
You know, that's not a great number.
And one of those was, what was it, Shattering Gehring played in a final or something like that, so they had
to right, win. And, you know, now Scotts Bluff added to that last year, and they could add to it again this year. But, you know, there's just a little different level of play. There's just, you know, let's be honest, there's fewer kids to choose from.
Have you seen Howells Dodge play basketball this year, Stu?
I did not. I haven't had a chance to get up and see them. But, you know, the blend of teams and a new coach, Cole Fisher, I think, came over from Lee when those two, Clarkson and Lee, combined. And, you know, to go undefeated again, that's quite a mark. And they won't have to see Giltner this year.
All right, Stuart, we will...
Remember that play at the end last year?
Well, it's 2 years in a row that Giltner has had probably the highlight of the state basketball tournament, winning both in amazing fashion, one at the end of regulation and then doing another end of the regulation play just to get into the championship or get into overtime. So can they do it again? They got to get by Why Not, and that's who the girls saw in the first round. So should be some great basketball as always, and hope to see you in Lincoln, Stu.
I'll be there.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Stu.
See you, Jim.
Stu Pospisil, Lincoln, the Omaha World Herald prep sports editor, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. There you go.
You did well, Doug.
I'm sorry. Just ever since the big guy left, I haven't been able to yell a whole lot on this show. And again, we have to have a rant from time to time. It just torques me off, that whole Lincoln Christian thing. Now I hope Wahoo wins by 50. Because all year we've been talking about Wahoo being number one, and all of a sudden now I just don't see it, and I'm looking at my
I think what
here.
We were trying to tell you is that Lincoln Christian's had a pretty good schedule. They're not bad. They deserve to be one of the eight teams in the tournament. You know, that's all we were trying to say. Unfortunately, they got to play the 25-0 team first round. Who would you rather play if you were Lincoln Christian? Would you rather play Kimball, who's 20-1, or Wahoo, who's 25-0.
Everybody would rather play Kimball because they're from the West, and nobody knows. Maybe they are the best team.
We'll find out.
Oh, no. Okay, Lincoln Christian, here we go. Here's their losses. Freeman, all right, good team, C2. Sutton, great team, C2. Wahoo, beat them by 5.
Okay, now what do you... Now I think maybe you're the one right now.
Columbus SCOTUS. Lincoln Pius in overtime.
I think you're the one that's going to have to kind of go back on what you said.
Bishop Newman in overtime.
Do you ever make a mistake?
Boys Town. Norris by 2. Boys Town by 1.
What do you say now? Be honest.
Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I worked Lincoln Christian in GICC, and they beat GICC really bad. Lincoln Christian would be tough in the Class B tournament.
2-1-3, overtime, 8-5. They lost to Sutton by 11, and they lost to Freeman by 10. So they lost two of their first four games, and after that, their closest loss was 8 points out of those last 7.
Yeah, they're just going to be competitive. They probably won't win the tournament, but are going to be competitive.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize.
Thank you very much.
I apologize. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I just apologize a little bit. That's all I'm doing. There you go. So I'm getting some support coming in, so we're going to talk about
Wait till we get to the NCAA tournament and talk about that. I think we're going to do that in a couple
weeks.
You're
going to be smarter on that than I am.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are, because you watch more of it.
Why?
You see more of it. I know you do. I don't. I try to catch the highlights. You're out almost as much or as much as I am reffing while I'm doing basketball games, so we don't get to see as much basketball.
You know what's kind of interesting? You know, Nebraska doesn't get to the NCAA basketball tournament, Nancy. But, you know, you look at all the states around us. Okay, look at Kansas. They're going to get in. Kansas State. Wichita State. Three schools in
Creighton.
Kansas. Creighton's in. Iowa's on the bubble. Iowa State's going to get in. Missouri's in. You go over to Colorado. Colorado and Colorado State. So, I mean, you look at this and you're going, hey, who's not getting in? Sometimes it's harder than who's getting in.
But, Jimmy, none of them can beat us in football. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Reaffirm weight loss for every reason.
There's a lot of noise about weight loss supplements out there. So how do you know if Reaffirm, the brand new weight loss program from Complete Nutrition, is right for you? First, you want the most effective weight loss ingredient since ephedrine. But you want it to be safe. Reaffirm contains a breakthrough formula with green coffee bean extract, proven to burn fat as fuel, so you lose weight fast. Second, you already take a multivitamin. Why not take one that also burns fat and boosts metabolism? Reaffirm's got you covered there too. And third, you don't just want to lose weight fast. You want to keep it off for good. End the yo-yo dieting with Reaffirm. Get to Complete Nutrition today and ask for Reaffirm. Reaffirm, for a reason.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
For complete coverage of the boys' state basketball tournament, keep it right here on ESPN Radio and PlatteRiverPreps.com. All six championships come your way on Saturday and Thursday on Classic Hits 98.9. Kearney Catholic plays Boone Central. Gibbon will be taking on Kimball. Plus on the Breeze 94.5 FM, Sutton takes on Crofton, Adams Central against Wayne, Giltner against Wynot, and Kennesaw takes on Burwell. The boys' state high school basketball tournament begins Thursday right here and on PlatteRiverPreps.com.
A wind advise remains in effect for our area through the day today as skies turn sunny to partly cloudy with a high of 36. Northwest winds will stay at about 20 to 40 miles per hour at times. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 12. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 28.
Doug and Daddy Show here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. If you're looking for a Dodge Journey right now, you can get up to $3,800 back from the manufacturer. And again, folks, this is all on top of that hassle-free price that is there for you every single day at Midway. How about a Chrysler 200 starting at under $19,000? And don't forget, just because truck month is over doesn't mean they don't have a great selection of trucks on hand. How about Ram trucks starting at under $23,000? Check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up, we'll be talking with Damon Day, a little Loper baseball later on in the show. We've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming your way as well today. But right now, it's time to catch up with Zach Foster, head coach of the Adams Central Patriots, as they look, I mean, this is the amazing stat, and I know they want to get this off their back. As good as Adams Central has been for years, they're still looking for their first state tournament win, and they're going to try and get it by beating Wayne for the second time this season. Zach, good morning. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Well, it's going good. How much does that get brought up to get that monkey off the back?
Well, we've actually talked about it a little bit throughout the year. When we went to the Wayne tournament at Christmas time, we kind of talked about it, the kids and I, a little bit on the way home, because we had you know, 8 hours in a van basically to talk about things. And we talked about a little bit, and obviously a big goal for our seniors is to get back to the state tournament, but they also want to get that monkey off their back and get a win also.
Last time you played Wayne, it was a low-scoring, kind of tough second half. Recap that game for the folks out there and what you think is different about your team now a couple of months later.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you come off the moratorium for both teams, for Wayne and us. You come off the moratorium where you don't do anything for 5 days, and then you play three games in a row, the three-day tournament. And we both had tough games the day before. They played Boone Central in a tough game with overtime, I believe. And we played Hardin and Cedar Catholic in a tough game. And so I think legs is a little bit of the scoring woes. We went on a run in the second quarter. Jake Fowler had a half-court shot to end the first quarter to give us a one-point lead. So it was 11-10 after one. And then it was 24-13 and a half. We were up. We had a great second quarter. And they made a run at us in the second half. But again, they only scored 11 points in the second half. We felt great about our defense. And we had a lot of shots that we felt were good shots that we could make that we just missed in the second half. So the funny thing, again, was that everybody thinks that one of the teams stalled, but nobody stalled. It was just good defense or bad offense, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of times, too, if you hold that team to one shot, you know, you pull up, you shoot it, it's a contested shot, and then you rebound and you turn to the other end. That makes it a low-scoring game, you know, where if you do not check off and that other team gets another putback, you know, that percentage of that second shot is really high. So, yeah, I think that probably has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, and both teams like to press. We like to press a little bit, so do they, but if nobody scores, you can't press. You can't get the tempo up where you want it, and it was very much a grind-out game.
Talking with Zach Foster, head coach of the Adams Central Patriots. How about the way you're playing down the stretch here? It looks like since the conference tournament, you revenged that game against Kearney Catholic. You got a great comeback win against Milford in the district final and put a lot of points on the board. So how in your mind are the Patriots playing right now?
Well, I think, you know, everybody says you want to be playing your best basketball this time of year, and I think we are. I thought we made a nice run in the conference tournament and lost the heartbreaker, obviously. Came back and had a huge win against St. Cecilia. And I know their record wasn't tremendous this year, but it's still St. Cecilia. And it was a big deal for our kids because we had not beaten them in a while. And to be quite honest, I think probably the biggest reason why we're playing well right now is because of when we went up there to Coach Gronick's home and got thumped a little bit. We went up there and did not play very well, and they were a big part of that. And we really, as coaches and players, had to look in the mirror and say, okay, we don't have a lot of time, fellas. We got to make sure that we're completely invested in this and have no regrets. And I really think from that moment on, from that next day of practice, after the Ravenna game on, we've really had a great look and a great focus to us.
We've talked about that. We talked about that with a variety of coaches. Yesterday it was Coach Reinertsen. You know, Shelton, they lost to them. Good team, but probably the underdog in that game. A lot of our teams that have made it to state, girls and boys, kind of had a late season wake-up call, and that's what we've seen here as well with Adams Central. Now, getting past just winning that first game, yeah, you want to do that, but also you want to have a chance to be playing Saturday afternoon at 4:30. So, big picture-wise, how do you approach this week?
Well, number one, we feel really good about our schedule and what we've done. Coach Raft, obviously, has coached a lot longer than I have, and he said it's almost unheard of to have a team that makes it to state who has beaten five teams that are in the state tournament. He had a lot of good teams, Donovan and Clay Center, and usually he said you'd beat two or three teams throughout a season. We'd beat five teams. So we feel good about that. It's also ironic, I guess, that we've either played or seen in person five of the eight teams in the C1 bracket, which is just atypical. Like Coach Rath said, when he went to state a lot of those years, he never seen anybody in person. So number one, we're playing somebody who already played, so the familiarity thing is there for both teams. That's an advantage for Wayne, too, I guess. You know, and if we win, Lincoln Christian and Wahoo, two of the teams we've not seen. We've seen a lot of film on them. But I really think, you know, it's anybody's tournament. I think it's going to be exciting to see who comes out of this. I don't think there's anybody probably like Omaha Central and A who's sitting there who just is head and shoulders above everybody else. Wahoo, obviously, you got to give the nod to. They've answered the bell 26 times, you know, and they were runner-ups last year. So the experience side, and that factor is probably on their side, but I think it's really going to be interesting. There's a lot of even teams in C1.
Yeah, I agree, Zach. You know, there was I officiated a few of your games this year, you know, and I remember the Gibbon game where you were behind 30-17, and you came back and won, and it kind of was kind of like the Wayne game you had where you were up 24-11. It seems to me that everybody in the C1 field, except for possibly Wahoo, has had that where they're, you know, you're trying to put in 32 minutes of basketball, but you're only maybe getting 20. You know, you're not playing really well for the whole 32.
Yeah, and I think, again, that goes back to, I don't know if parity is the right word or not, but there's a lot of even teams. You know, when you look at the breakdowns of the teams in the bracket down there, I think, you know, it's anybody's to win.
We're talking with Zach Foster here. You know what, last week, and I heard this actually from the coaches without us asking that you had your Grand Island Northwest, you had your Kearney Catholic, there are some other teams. They're thought of as volleyball girls that then transcended into basketball players and had great seasons. There's no doubt that you got a lot of football players on this team, and you play kind of that physical style of basketball. How has the transition specifically this year from a very good football season now to this end of the basketball season went?
Well, I think you're 100% right as far as, you know, Adam Central is known as a football school. Coach Carlin is, you know, a tremendous coach, has a great program. And, you know, as forever the basketball coach is Adam Central, you have to understand that we're going to have a lot of athletic and physical kids because of our football program. And so, you know, going into how we want to play and our style, obviously that kind of dictates some things. We want to be physical. We want to use our athleticism. And the thing that's probably different from, you know, the past teams we've had is kind of our identity. Our calling card is much more defensive this year. We really can grind out games and win, where the last few years we've been more of an offensive team. And I think that, you know, it goes right back to our football team. We have a lot of kids that were football players, and our defense was tremendous in football this year. I don't know how many games they went before anybody even scored on us, but it was, I think we gave up in the team for points for the entire season until we got in the playoffs. And so, obviously, those kids have that mindset in football where they were upset if anybody scored on them. And it's a different game, but it's the same kind of idea that our kids really early bought in that, hey, we're going to win games defensively. And we don't really care how many points we have as long as we're more than they are, you know. And I think in the state tournament field, if I didn't see it incorrectly, we have the lowest scoring average of anybody that made it in the bracket. But we're okay with that because I think we have the best defensive average as well.
Yeah, 53 points. I mean, that's not terrible. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if that's the lowest, then that's not bad. Adam Central coach Zach Foster with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, 3:45 Thursday afternoon on 12:30 a.m. KHAS and PlatteRiverPreps.com. They take on Wayne, 22-5 ball club. Last question, I guess, because we've talked about the individual kids, and you've got so many seniors, and you're so balanced. It's different than like talking about Riley Reinertsen yesterday or some of the other kids that we've talked about before. But has Wayne done anything different or have anybody back, or is there anything different about Wayne than when you played him in the holiday tournament?
Not really as far as personnel. I mean, a couple of their bench kids are playing a little better, but they have a post player who has started since he was a freshman who's very, very good. And he had 15 on us of their 24 in the first game, so we have to do a better job on him. And then they have two guards, which Jay Crowler and Blake Overmiller did a tremendous job on them the first time. The one kid, both of them, I think, could be all-state type players. Jalen Berry is a tremendous point guard. He scored 1 point against Jake the first time. And Grant Anderson, the 6'5 shooting guard, is tremendous. And he had a 5 or 6 the first time. So Blake and Jake did tremendous jobs. And, you know, playing their law of averages, they're probably going to have more than 1 and 6 this time. They're great players. But I think as far as their scheme and what they do, everything's pretty much the same. And you know, the familiarity thing, like we talked about, there's not a lot different that they're doing, so it's going to come back to execution, I think, on both sides.
Zach, best of luck, and we look to see you playing 3 ball games down there at the state tournament.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, sir.
Take care.
Yeah, Zach, I'm glad the Lou Platt really was strong, and kind of like the Class B girls when you got, you know, Grand Island Northwest, Holdridge, and Seward making that. So I hope we all do well in there.
Yeah, I think all the Lou Platt coaches know we have a solid conference. I think every year, I've been in the conference 13 years. You know, and up into the sub-finals, we had 5 teams still that could get to state. Donovan and Loop City were still playing. So I think it's another banner year in our conference. You know, and I feel great for Don Leese and for Paul Reinertsen, too, because obviously they're great coaches and have great programs, but they're also taking their sons to the state tournament, which I think is a great story for those guys.
Any truth to the rumor that all the Adams Central coaches are doing the Harlem Shake this week?
If we win the last game, we might do that. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
Zach, hey, best of luck. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good day, guys.
Zach Foster, head coach at Adams Central. Very solid program at 21-5. Kearney Catholic 22-3. Gibbon 20-5. And of course, they've beat up on each other a little bit. That's some of those losses as well. Let's go back to the Debt Popper inbox here. Mike and Gibbon says, I totally agree with your rant, Doug. I'm thinking a Kearney Catholic or Adams Central is better than a Lincoln Christian. That's why we've got the whole state tournament to figure that out. I agree totally with you about the whole East-West thing. You hit the nail on the head. So thanks to the guys that have fired in those emails.
You know, there's just sometimes where you got to face reality. And, you know, we were talking about Pierce girls. And the Minden girls were going to get in the state tournament before Pierce. And we thought that was unfair. And they both got in. Now, if somebody gets beat, Pierce doesn't get in. Yeah. The state tournament. And now Minden and Pierce play, and we kind of saw what happened. So I just think that Lincoln Christian, when you know, I don't think Gibbon plays Pius X. You know what I mean? And I think because Lincoln Christian does, they shouldn't be penalized. And I'm not saying that Gibbon's worse, but I'm just saying that Lincoln Christian definitely deserves to be in these eight teams that are in the tournament. Because you play Pius X, don't take that against him and count them. Oh, you're 0-1, and that's a loss. Yeah. And they almost beat him. You know, well, so that's what's critical. And give those people a chance and an opportunity to play.
It should be a great state tournament. Tomorrow, Matt Drew from Giltner. Can they make it 3 in a row? Why not? Girls did it in D2. And that's who the Giltner boys will start with on Thursday. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia is coming up. Plus, we'll talk with UNK baseball coach Damon Day. But our poll question as we go to break, which college basketball performance Saturday was more impressive? Ryan Kelly from Duke, who had missed 2 months from foot injury. Mike Krzyzewski says it's one of the greatest performances he's ever seen on his home floor. He goes 10 of 14, 36 points, hits 7 3-pointers. They beat Miami. And then Doug McDermott of Creighton, who was 10 of 10 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3-point land, 41 points as they beat Wichita State.
McDermott, hands down, tremendous game. What a game. And they needed it at that time. You know, that, that, you know, they were really, you know, I mean, you look at teams, there's teams that that lose 3 or 4 in a row and they got to step it up. Oklahoma did that this year. Everybody's had that little cycle. Kansas did it this year. And the Creighton also did it. And now it looks like Creighton's, you know, really come back, and he did it. And boy, they went to him and the players knew what to do. And, you know, he's a team player. You know, this guy didn't shoot that many shots. There's a lot of guys who get 40 points and put it up. But the Duke guy had a great game, too.
Which, yeah, a great game there. And you know, that makes me – there's a couple of high school teams that are around here that are getting in on the wild card. You know, time to get it going again. I mean, Creighton showed it. Some of the girls' teams showed it last week. I mean, there's no doubt about it that you can get things going. 4 wildcard teams won at state last week, so should be wide open for the boys as well. Which local team has the best chance to win a boys' state title? This will be interesting to see how this one pairs out. Adams Central, Kearney Catholic, Gibbon, they're all in C1. Sutton in C2, Kennesaw in D1, Giltner in D2. And I guess normally I wouldn't make a pick on this, Jimmy, but I think it's fairly obvious. I mean, Sutton... they're not the Crofton girls, but Sutton is the number one seed. They're the only number one seed out of this crew. And so I would think that Sutton probably has the best chance to win the boys' state basketball title.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I agree with you. You know, I don't know if Southern Valley is considered to be in the area, but boy, yeah, they have really played well late. You know, there was a time when Arapahoe and Bertrand went to the holiday tournament at Pleasanton, and Ravana won that. And I thought, well, maybe that conference, when Ravana plays Southern Valley, it'll be interesting, because Ravana just got through, you know, like beating Adams Central not too long ago. And, hey, Southern Valley stuck it to them, you know. And then they also stuck it to St. Cecilia. So, you know, that Southern Valley group over on that side, that would be very interesting. Not everybody has a 6'9 kid.
I think that's going to be a great first-round game. You know, what game should I go watch? That's a tough one for a fan that doesn't have a connection to anybody to go watch. But Lutheran High took Ravenna to the wire in the state finals last year, and they're taking on Southern Valley, who is a very, very good basketball team and is back for just the second time in history since they've been consolidated, but it's been 14 years since they've been there. By the way, 56% of you did say Doug McDermott yesterday, 44% said Ryan Kelly of Duke. We will take a break. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, Damon Day, still to come.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and 8 flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you, we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. Birthdays are meant to be celebrated. Make the birthdays of your family and friends special and memorable with a gift that is fun, thoughtful, and impressive. The Birthday Flower Cake, only from 1-800-Flowers.com. The Birthday Flower Cake, created exclusively by 1-800-Flowers, is one of the most popular gifts. It's truly original, handcrafted floral arrangement designed in the shape of a birthday cake. Beautiful. Even comes with candles. Looks like a real double-decker cake. 1-800-Flowers.com, special offer just for my listeners. A free upgrade. Order a large birthday flower cake for the price of a small. That's a $39.99 value for only $29.99. Available for same-day delivery. Did you hear that? Same-day delivery. Backed by the 1-800-Flowers.com 100% smile guarantee. For this or other great offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or even your mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name.
The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamins is Complete Nutrition. And this week, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the month, get 22% off everything for our preferred member days. That's 22% off all exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, vitamins, and herbs. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is asking you the right questions to get you the right products you need to reach your goals. And when it comes to helping you lose weight, increase energy, burn fat, or build muscle mass, nobody gets you results like Complete Nutrition, period. So get in this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our preferred member days and save 22% off everything only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advise remains in effect for our area through the day today as skies turn sunny to partly cloudy with a high of 36. Northwest winds will stay at about 20 to 40 miles per hour at times. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 12. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 28.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Here's one for you. Congratulations, Connie Yorey. We hope to have Lindsay Moore with us on the show tomorrow. If not Lindsay, one of the Nebraska women's basketball coaches or players before they head off to the Big Ten tournament. Also, Matt Drew from Giltner will be on the program tomorrow. Our Loper Link with Mark Bauer from the Division II National Wrestling Championships. They're already on their way to Birmingham, Alabama. We'll talk with the coach tomorrow about that as well. But Nebraska's Connie Yorey, the Big Ten Women's Coach of the Year. The coaches do one, the media does one. The coaches gave it to Coach Yorey, the media gave it to
the Penn State coach because they won the title. Again, what was Nebraska pick? Sixth or something, or third or fourth? I mean, they exceeded expectations. Penn State did not. Of course, it's hard to exceed if you're picked number one, those expectations. But Lindsey Moore's on the second team for the second year. Jordan Hooper's on the first team for the second year. Rachel Theriot, unanimous all-freshman team. Emily Cady, honorable mention. They do bracketology. You know, everybody knows Joe Lunardi for the men, but it's Charlie Cream for the women, and you can see it on ESPN. Nebraska women, they lose to Penn State, so they'd get dropped a spot in the poll, whatever. They're 21st. He has them as a 3 seed.
Nebraska.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
They must be having that Big Ten pretty tough.
No. No way. There's no way. Is there? There's no way. I mean, they'd have to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, which is, I agree with you. It's kind of amazing to me sometimes when you look at a Creighton, how far down the line they are. You know, this year might be the first year in the NCAA men's tournament, in the men's tournament, that the number one seeds you don't have to be that scared of. You know, I mean, there used to be where were like the 8-9 and you'd win, you're going, oh, that's great. Now look who we have to play. You know, we got to play, you know, the Lakers here, you know, right off the start. So, you know, in the women's, though, I think those top four teams in the women's are really good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, just
triple overtime last night, yes. Connecticut, Notre Dame.
Exactly. So that group, you want to stay away from that 8 or 9 seed if you're in that NCAA tournament. You don't want that in the women's, you know, for sure.
Love to see those Nebraska women be that high of a seed because they need to find a way to get to that next step, get to that next level. When they were the number one seed, they made it to the Sweet 16 and got upset by Kentucky. We went down to Kansas City and watched that, and Kentucky couldn't miss, and Nebraska made a heck of a comeback in the second half, but it was just too much to overcome with the great basketball team that they said that would be awesome. To see Nebraska get things taken care of. So we'll see how that plays out. They play Friday at 11:30 against either Iowa or Northwestern. Tonight we've got Ohio State, Indiana men's basketball here on ESPN Radio. But right now we promised you a game of Where's Waldo, only we called it Where's Damon. Damon Day, the head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska-Kearney. Nobody's seen him here for months. Damon, I'm glad that your cell phone still has batteries. What's up, man?
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing?
Well, you know, me and Jimmy are just trying to get through a Tuesday show. Where are you?
I am right now, I believe, right now I'm in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
You have not left yet?
No, we are, this is our hub. This is where we are at for the next, until Sunday. So, we are going to drive over to Springfield tomorrow to take on Missouri Western, and then we're going to come home. Thursday, we got a little midweek non-conference 9-inning game versus Missouri Southern in Joplin, Missouri. And then Saturday and Sunday, we play Truman State from Kirksville, Missouri in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Wow. There's just no chance to play at UNK, Damon. I mean, again, you talked about it last week.
You know, Memorial Field is such a nice field. And you know what? Could we push the envelope and do some things to play on there this weekend? You know, it would be 50-50 at best, and with that would come some damage, and with that would come some things just with being so saturated and having to get the snow off. And that's not something that we're about, and that's not something that field is really about. And, you know, the summer guys respect it when it rains, and we respect it when it's snow, and it's really a community field. And so to go crazy and do some of those things, I just didn't think was really in the best interest of Memorial Field and obviously John McBride felt the same exact way. And talking with Dave Foster up there, you know, we all got together and said, you know what, let's just give it some time, let the water and the snows recede, and we'll get out there in due time to play when we can and Mother Nature is at the end of the day, you can't fight that one. And so it was just a better decision for us not to try to play at home.
Yeah, Damon, I'll tell you what, it's still really cold after that snow. You know, I mean, it just hasn't done much. It is really, really cold. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what the temperature's like in Pittsburgh. It's probably not that much warmer, but they didn't get maybe as much snow as we did. Is that correct?
No, they barely got any snow. They did a great job of removing it, and there's an on-campus field. So, you know, they can do whatever they want to it between February and May, and then they got June, July, they got the rest of the year to fix the ruts and everything else that are made by them plowing the snow. But, you know, really up in Kearney, the issue you run to is the nighttime temperatures. Daytime temperatures really aren't as big of a deal, but when you're always freezing at night, you kind of get that thaw, that freeze, that thaw, and that's when you start to get really bad field conditions. And so, you know, it was just, you know, in the down here in Pittsburgh, Kansas, that we're going to play at this weekend is a really cool, old school, kind of just like Memorial minor league type of stadium. And so our guys are excited as all could be to get to play there.
Well, let's talk a little baseball. You did get to play Pittsburgh State this weekend. A great rally in the first game on Sunday, but it ended up not working out in the end. So you drop two on Sunday. You fall behind 5-0 through 2.5 innings yesterday, and then things totally change. Brian Wiest has 7 RBIs. You guys scored 12 in the third, so things are a little bit better today.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we knew going into this, this was like starting over for us, you know, and that first Sun, that game, those games on Sunday, we looked just like we did at Metro State, and that's kind of the byproduct of being a young team, and that's something we're talking about and working on. Is hey, you got to show up to play, whether we've had a long layoff or no layoff, and you know it was deja vu all over again type of thing with how we played exactly against Metro State, and so we have to figure out a way to get better off the bus at pitching the baseball, and that's something that we just didn't do against Pittsburgh State until freshman Joe Smith from North Platte came in and slammed the door on the Pittsburgh bats, followed up with a great performance by Dalton Cowan. You know, we were headed for another slugfest, but Joe really stepped up in a time where we really, really needed him and did a really nice job. And so my hats are off to him, and it was a great team win because we could have folded up the 10 after being down 5-0, and, you know, they were getting out the brooms and those types of things. And then we kind of socked them good in the nose with that 12-run inning, and they really weren't able to respond. And Brian Wiest is a man. I mean, his grand slam landed about 500 feet away on top of their indoor hitting facility, which would probably be equivalent of hitting Apollo Park at Memorial Field. And so it was an absolute no-doubt bomb. And so that was a fun inning to be coaching third base, you know, giving the signals for all those runs to score at that time.
Yeah. But you were thinking about just maybe having a bunt there, were you?
No, you know, I was thinking, you know, bases loaded, catch them off guard, maybe a little push bunt, but instead I gave the old grand slam sign. I usually don't give that one, but I had a hunch that he's pretty locked in at the plate right now. He's really putting us on his back and doing some pretty special things that I haven't seen done before in a short amount of time. He's a frustrating guy because he likes to take pitches and likes to do things kind of methodically, which if I was as good as he can, if I had as fast a hands as him, I'd just swing at everything. And so we're trying to kind of get him to swing more, and he's starting to do that a little bit more and realizing that, you know, it's okay for him to go after a ball every now and again that isn't quite in the strike zone. I'm completely fine with him swinging the bat as much as possible, but he's just had a tremendous start to the season for us.
Hey, you said that North Platte pitcher pitched real well for you too, that
Joe
freshman.
Smith, yeah.
Is that right? That's good. I'm really glad.
Yeah, Smith did awesome. You know, he came in 5 lockdown innings and probably could have went out for a 6th, but, you know, he had kind of hit his pitch count. And you know, I love the emotion. I love the feistiness. I just love – I mean, he was so pumped up. I think in the 7th, we're still up 7-0, or we're up by 7 or something like that. And we get a ground ball, double play ball, and oh my goodness, you couldn't get out of the way fast enough the way he ran in the dugout. And so, you know, just to see that raw excitement and that raw emotion from a young kid who was just so happy and so proud of himself, and I was so proud of him. I mean, the whole team rallied around him, and I mean, he stepped up huge for us. And so those are the moments you coach for, is to see the Joe Schmitz of the world's first college victory and fist pumping out there. And, you know, we'll tone it down now because I tried to explain to him afterwards, don't wake a lying dog. But it was a really great effort on his part, and he did a phenomenal job of getting us a chance to win.
So were you running around the motel room last night with your shirt off after the big win?
No, not
the baseball win. I mean by the Irish.
No, I found out through the Twitterverse because someone's like, hey, how about the Irish women's hoops team? And, you know, It's funny, I've watched 900 hours of ESPN over the last 4 days, but the one time I'm not watching it is when the Irish win in triple overtime. So, you know, actually last night we were watching some MLB Network, some spring training games around the hotel, and just kind of relaxing and doing our thing. So today we had study hall, and we'll go back, and we got studying from 2 to 5 in the Pittsburgh State Library. And I'll tell you what, Pittsburgh State is one of the classiest, most impressive athletic departments I have ever seen as a coach. The way that they have rolled out the red carpet for us and have helped us hospitality-wise, from top to bottom, their athletic department, their coach, Coach Murray, is just a phenomenal, phenomenal person, runs a first-class program, and I can't thank the people of Pittsburgh, Kansas, and the Pittsburgh State Athletic Department for all that they've done for UNK. It has been they didn't have to do a lot of the things that they have done for us, and it is very impressive to see a university like that extend out a gracious hand, and I'm just so appreciative. I know our players are just as appreciative of them taking care of us the way that they have.
All right, Coach. Well, have fun. Get some wins. We'll see you back here on the home turf next week.
Good deal. You guys be safe.
Take care, Damon. Damon Day, UNK baseball coach. Can't be fun being on the road that long, but what the heck? They're playing ball, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad Pittsburgh State's being nice to them. That's really good. You know, I mean, that, you know, because you just think about places you go on vacation, Vegas, Miami of Florida, Bismarck, North Dakota, you know, Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Oh, man. It's time for this Tuesday Troutman's Trivia, 888-455-ESPN. Call now. If you've not won in the last 2 months, we've got a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Call now at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And if you are the first one to get our trivia question correct, you will get the $25 gift card. I got a couple of them out there today, Jimmy. I got a couple of them out there.
You do a good job with this.
Well, you know, hey, you're my inspiration. Let's go to the phone lines here. Who are we chatting with?
Matt and Funk.
Matt and Funk. See, I got a couple questions here that might be city specific, and I don't know whether to ask them to the city or if they're not from that city. So here we go. I'm going to ask you a baseball question. Nebraska plays a doubleheader tomorrow against Northern Colorado. And then they embark on their longest road trip of the season. How many consecutive games will the Huskers play on the road starting on Friday?
14.
Not 14. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Give us a buzz. I had like three of them, and now I've lost one of them. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, where are you from?
Kearney.
Kearney. All right. Gibbon has not been to the state boys basketball tournament since 1981. They went 1-1 in that state tournament. Can you tell me either school that they played in 1981? Class C.
Wahoo.
Not Wahoo. Try back. 888-45. Do you remember, Jimmy? 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Hey, this is Jay from Kearney.
Oh, no. I'm going to ask you the same question. Can you tell me either team that Gibbon played in the 1981 state tournament?
Oh, boy, I wasn't even alive.
I was going to say, that's before you were born.
I'm going to throw out a wild guess and say Central City.
Not Central City. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. They haven't been to state since 81. 81, Gibbon hasn't been. That's a long time.
You know, they started C2 in 84. Because in 82, 83, we had to play a play-in game when I was coaching at Ravana to get to state, and the next year they changed it. You know, it's a C2 and C1, yeah.
Let's stay with our Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
That's Keith.
Keith, Nebraska will embark on a long road trip, their longest of the season after Wednesday's doubleheader. How long will that road trip be?
Oh, I was hoping for the other one. 13 games.
It is not 13. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you would like to see that one we talked about earlier, that's just too tough. Let's stay with the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Christian and Kearney.
Christian and Kearney. Boys state basketball tournament is this week. Which school in the state has been to the most state finals ever? With a total
of
20.
All class or one class?
All class. Most times this school has been to the finals, 20 of them overall.
Omaha Central.
Not Omaha Central. 18. So they're too short. They'll probably make it 19 this year. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. We have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
John.
John, give me either team that Gibbon played in the 1981 state tournament.
North Platte, St. Pat's.
Oh, what a guess. I love it. It's not right, but it's a great guess. Try back. I will say that it's in the eastern third of the state. Both schools would be in the eastern third of the state. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Are they too tough? Jimmy, are they just too tough?
Well, the one with the numbers isn't too tough, but I think you keep going.
Okay, let's keep it going here. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Allen.
Allen. Nebraska embarks on their longest road trip in baseball of the season starting on Friday. How long will the road trip last? How many games?
11
is not right. They're starting to get close, though. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, let's see. This team has made the most state boys basketball finals in Nebraska history.
Gearing.
Not Gearing. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. I got all kinds of stuff we could go with. Let's stay with the phone lines here. Jeff, did you know any of these? You knew the baseball one. You told me that one right away. You didn't know the other ones because you're too young.
Right.
You're like 12. Who are we chatting with?
This is Lee from Hastings.
All right. Let's see. What should we throw at him? Let's see. Hastings. You know, did you know that Hastings has been to the most state tournaments of any school in the state? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, 58 Hastings Tigers. I remember we used that last year during Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, so I couldn't use it again. Hastings has been to the most state tournaments. Which team has been to the most state finals?
Lincoln Southeast.
It is not Lincoln Southeast. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
John.
John. All right, I'm going to change it up. You give me Lincoln High has been in the most state finals 20 times. Lincoln High.
That's what I was going to guess.
Lincoln High has been in the most state finals. All right, Kearney, Nebraska, within a 60-mile radius. Give me the school that's been in the most state finals.
Oh wow!
Just the area team that's been in the most state finals.
Kearney Catholic.
No, it is not Kearney Catholic. Try back. No. It's not Kearney Catholic. Pleasanton has 8. St. Paul has 8, and that's probably more than 60 miles. Ravenna has 9. It's more than that. Let's stay with the phone lines here. Who are we chatting with?
Sean.
Sean. Which area team has been in the most state boys basketball finals?
GICC.
No. How long is Nebraska's road trip going to be after Friday or starting Friday?
12.
There. That's it. It's over. Yeah, I felt guilty. 12 is the answer. Hang on the line. $25 gift card coming your way. That may be the first time I've ever done that, Jimmy. Was that right? Should I have done that?
Yeah, you did that. The show's got to end sometime.
Maybe we'll do another Troutman's tomorrow. We got a couple more in the bank. You know, why not? Let's see. I would have given you either on the area school because Hildreth is the actual 12 times, but Minden of a high school that is still open is 10. So they are the winner. Nebraska will be on a 12-game road trip. Gibbon, the two teams that they played, Madison and Valley. Those are the two teams. There you go.
Yep. Back in 81, Fred Reed was coaching there at that time.
Man.
I think Kevin Mayfield was on that team.
Oh, there you go. I was talking to some Gibbon people. Tell me who was on the 81 team. And unfortunately, the few of the names, I mean, I recognized a couple of them, but as far as like knowing any of them or, you know, I was, a couple of they threw out, I just didn't remember.
I was just started teaching in Ravan. I wasn't the head coach then, but I went to the game, and I think it was in Cozad, and Indianola Republican Valley is who they beat to go to state, and Ron Wymore, the superintendent of Pleasanton, was coaching the other side, you know, the other team that got beat by Gibbon that day.
Wow. Yeah,
that was a big deal. Larry Bleach was keeping the game book. And his brother played for Gibbon at that time.
That's why we've got Jimmy Langan. He can give me even more history. That is outstanding stuff. We actually have to take a break. How long is this show? What happened today? I don't even know what happened. Back after this.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jerseys in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m. Not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar. Your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Sagolik and I are in the midst of the Listerine 21-Day Challenge toward a healthier mouth. They guarantee you'll feel the difference in 21 days or your money back.
This Listerine Total Care stuff really does a lot. Strengthens teeth, restores enamel, kills bad breath germs. There are like 6 benefits in one.
Yeah, your breath is better. I don't even have to hold my nose anymore.
That's weird. You don't sound any less nasal.
Come on, this voice is pure gold.
Pipe down, Greeny. For more info on the Listerine 21-Day Challenge and the money-back guarantee, please visit facebook.com/Listerine. Listerine, power to your mouth.
You would not want to be your engine's rear seal, wrapped around a greasy spinning crankshaft for an afternoon or a decade. Your rear seal would tell you that, but it's busy hugging a crankshaft, remember? But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. Remember, your rear seal is not going to text you a little yellow sad face. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I have the Cunningham's Journal. Well, I think I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Wi-Fi, internet, keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face-deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape Ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show. I guess that's when you know you got a good time on the show. You just keep talking and you don't even realize what time it is. Jimmy, thanks for the great hour, man.
Yeah, we had a good time.
See you down in the state tournament. There's going to be some good matchups. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Anything specific that you're looking to see? Any brave predictions for this week? Since you don't have to officiate, actually give an opinion.
Yeah,
now.
I can actually try to get the pick six.
What do you think? What do you think? You got your 6 picked out?
No, well, I'll tell you what. I think it's really going to be hard to try to beat Omaha Central, but there's some people that have shown that they can do that, you know. And so I don't think Omaha Central is an automatic. That's the one thing I will say about there's no automatics. I mean, there's that one team that, you know, is like in C1 or C2 that could maybe win the Class B state tournament. You know what I mean? And yeah. I don't think anybody, you know, you think anybody in Class B could win the A tournament?
Not this year.
Exactly. Not but usually year. There's that one team. And, you know, actually, you know, Pearson, Kearney Catholic girls last week could have competed real well. But, you know, I was glad to see Grand Island Northwest. You know, they had a nice lead over Holdridge and lost it in that district final. And I thought, boy, if they could put it together, they could be. And it was really good to see them win that thing. I was really glad that Northwest won that.
So you don't have any predictions?
I'm not going to predict anything at all. I'm not going to go with one prediction. Nope.
All right. I won't either. I will say this. After watching Central, and we talked about this the week of the Heartland Hoops Classic, that their goals just needed to be 3. Compete in Florida, beat Oak Hill, and win the state title. This is the last time these guys are playing. I don't think motivation is going to be a problem. It might be against Papio South, who is 9-15 in the first round at 9 a.m. That's the only problem. 9 a.m., 9 a.m., 1 o'clock for Omaha Central, which is too bad. But I think they come out and they show. I mean, Omaha South pushed them for a half of the state final last year. My one prediction is Omaha Central shows their dominance of Class A this weekend and goes down as one of the greatest of all time. That's my prediction. So we'll see how it all plays out. More on the state basketball tournament tomorrow with Matt Drew, the two-time defending state champion, Giltner. We'll talk Husker women's basketball. We'll talk UNK wrestling. Mark Bauer and the team at the national tournament. We want to thank Adam Central coach Zach Foster, Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald, and Loper baseball coach Damon Day for joining us today, as well as Jimmy Langan. We'll see you in Lincoln, man.
You bet. Take care.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.